You're now listening to Hooray for Everything.
A special innovative episode.
The festive special.
And we're back with another episode of Hooray for Everything.
Huzzah.
The festive special. And P, this week we got a guest.
I'm very excited.
Very exciting. Mr. Mike Bowles.
Am I clapping?
Yeah, it's good.
Well,
it's good
to
have.
Except you keep calling him Mike, even though
well,
he prefers
there's time.
To go
by Jay
Mike.
Is actually kind of always called me Mike.
Sure.
He's just one of those guys who just picked up on that. And some people do it to be friendly, and I'm cool with it. But
you prefer your government name.
The only time that I actually do the Petula look when people do it is if they introduce themselves and I introduce myself as Michael, and then they call me Mike immediately.
Yeah, like, that's stepping the line.
That's boundaries.
Mine is like it's a Jedi mind trick where it's just like, oh, my name's Jason, but then they know to call me Jay, but I've never said to call me Jay. But the people who ask that, then don't be calling me Jay. Like,
have just, I ever called you Jason?
No, no one, no one, no one really does. Only HR people. This week, P, a couple of things got announced. The lineup. I got to stop stepping
big
on
things,
my
big things, big things.
Mic stand.
This about a day after our last recording, there was the Canadian films, which, you know, was excited about, but instantly got over once they started announcing The Vanguard and then The Midnight Madness.
Oh, they already announced The Midnight Madness.
You betcha.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I feel like before we get into the announcements, we need to talk about the brewing debate over horse flesh that we were talking about
horse
earlier.
I like to eat it.
You guys like to watch it.
There's always a heated discussion before the mics get turned on. No matter who's here or if it's just me and P or someone's dropping into the studio, just like ramps up to 12, like a heated discussion of like, shut up, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I didn't wake up like this.
But
hashtag not Beyonce.
Michael brought it up. Was a great show on Netflix.
So you say. I say nay.
Oh, come on. We're going to cut that out. BoJack Horseman. Which took a while for me to warm up. If you go in thinking it's good, it's The Simpsons with animals or something like that. It is not that show. And what I said to Mike before we turned on the mics was like, it's a show. It shouldn't be a cartoon. It shouldn't be a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's some kind of deeply emotional comedy drama where one of the main characters is named Mr. Peanut Butter.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and yeah, the animals all have these like silly animal names. The cat manager's name is
Princess Caroline.
yeah. But they all play these like superhuman, real, like the realest emotional characters on TV, flawed characters that you will see on a TV show now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, it gets dark, but it gets dark for a reason. And like, season one, they did one where he trips out on drugs. Like, they go on a big crazy, like, coke binge or, like, a drug binge. And it's just, like, I think it's, like, one of the most amazing episodes I've ever seen of any TV show with, like, drug usage. And, like, they all start pointing the guns at each other. And they're like, is this real? Am I real? And really good show, but super dark. Super, super dark. Talks about, like, depression and, like, self-worth. And, like, because he's a washed-up Hollywood star.
Although
TV
what
star.
You just said brought me back to maybe one of the only moments I truly enjoyed in True Detective. Now that it's over, I'm not quite sure what happened. I'm still confused.
Season two.
But yes. Yeah. See, I kind of goes without saying. Yeah. But there was a moment, and I don't care if I spoil it because it was a crazy like shitballs of a show, and spoiling it, I can't spoil something that I still don't understand.
Can just you spoil, so you know, something?
But there was a moment really where there's, you know, a room full of like your traditional, you know, guns pointing at people moment. Everyone's pointing guns. And Vince Vaughn's character, who was in a different show the whole season, says one of my favorite line from that show the whole season, but one of my favorite lines in recent memory. He's like, well, that's one off the bucket list. A Mexican standoff with actual Mexicans. So terrible. So terrible.
I liked it in the, because it was a show where I'm like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? There's a lot of dialogue right now. I don't talk this much ever.
Except for the mic in front of you.
Well, no, just like with friends where I'm just like, a lot of my conversations don't involve exposition. It's just sort of like things just happen, you know? Just like, oh, it's hot in here. Like, there's no dialogue like that in the show. It's just very like,
and it was like layered exposition. Yeah, yeah. It was someone having a flashback and telling someone a backstory while they're having a flashback, while they're introducing a new character.
Yeah.
It was Inception layers of exposition.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'd get to the end of it and I would forget, like, where am I? Mm-hmm. Did they time jump? Is it now? Is it then? Is
what
it
happened?
Yeah. Now? Is it tomorrow? I don't know. Yeah. I just know that somehow, no matter when it is, Rachel McAdams' hair had the exact same levels of ombre, which makes no sense.
The tint of her hair.
Your ombre.
She's meticulous about the ombre.
By definition, it should like move. It should migrate. Yeah. The ombre.
The darker should have. Yeah. The roots.
She just got it the way she liked it. That's all.
Yeah. Or she's magic.
Every scene it cuts to, she's like going to the, she's getting in and out of the hair salon.
Yeah. She's getting it re-ombre to that exact point. Like the full like 40%.
I don't know this term. How do you spell ombre? Is that like the cowboy ombre?
Ombre, no. without the H, and you're there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, think Jared Leto's hair in award season during Dallas Buyers Club.
Gradient? No, gradient's not the right.
It's close. Ish, it is close.
Close-ish, yeah. But not.
So ombre hair, that was a thing. And people sort of, it's like you let the dye grow out and then it became like an on-purpose look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned something today.
Yeah. There you go.
But it's the debate of like, are things better on TV than they are in movies? Like, TV is better than movies right now. People like that. That's like people talk about that. But then I watched, then True Detective season 2, which would been a real, like, I guess if it was in movie format, people would have like, oh, this is very like, there's many layers to it. And like, you know, it's you got to watch it more than once as a movie. But as a TV show, it didn't work.
But back to your Horsemen.
Yeah.
Keep selling me on it.
Yeah.
Give me a moment. Give me a reason.
So the character, BoJack Horseman, who's a horse, Mr. Peanut Butter, who's a TV star also.
Yeah, like, he's a marginally more successful TV star that BoJack is jealous of.
Princess
Caroline?
Caroline, the cat agent manager. Yeah. And then there's humans in it too. He has some guy that lives on his couch who's his friend. I'm not selling this at all. But it's one of those shows. Oh.
You can say Aaron Paul. That sells Aaron Paul. For some people.
Yeah. It is a little inside baseball.
Never watch Breaking Bad. I know, right?
I refused for a long time until one day I was homesick and I watched the pilot and then my wife came home and I said, you have to sit down right now and watch this.
Yeah, it's great. It's really? Great.
Yeah, I resisted because so many people pissed me off by telling me I had to watch it.
I couldn't get over it because it was Malcolm in the Middle's dad. And in the
I love Bryan Cranston.
In the
he's amazing.
Commercials, they always show him in the underwear. Like that. But it's just like, is this a comedy? Like, I don't want to watch him again, like, being all crazy. So I never watched it until, like, the last season. Then I watched everything. And
there is a lot of dark comedy in the first couple of seasons, and that's what makes it all the more horrifying later. Yeah.
A lighthearted ness, and
even like when rotting bodies fall through the ceiling in a bathtub, it's still
comedy.
Sounds hilarious,
right?
It's good. It's a good show. And then another one I'm watching, but apparently it's not easy to, it's not on your regular channels out here in Canada.
If one were to acquire this show somehow, it would not be bad.
It's called Mr. Robot.
I watched the first episode. Yeah. I don't know how I got it. I think they actually put the whole episode on YouTube or something for the first episode.
Yeah.
I found it through one of the many film, movie, podcast people that I follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're like, full entire episode of something with some person that you recognize as the Egyptian kid who could like manipulate the elements in the Twilight movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The guy who's like the main guy.
Okay. He was in a movie.
He was one of the like million random vampires in the, you know, Twilight Part 2.
Okay.
And
he's good. He's very good.
He's like the guy who can control the elements. Love him. I kind of thought he would have made a good Apocalypse. Not, you know, no shade, Oscar Isaacs, everyone loves you. You're the new hot thing. But yeah, he would have also been a good Apocalypse for the X-Men movies. But yeah, I watched it and loved it and then realized it's USA Network. I was kind of waiting for it to show up on HBO Canada because they sort of do sometimes other things that aren't part of the full HBO, but it didn't show up. I couldn't find it, and then I kind of gave up. But all of the podcasts I listen to talk about it and love it. Like the Grantland one,
it's
the NPR one.
I think it's the first show ever that talks about like computer tech hacking stuff in a non-stupid way. Like you know, remember Weird Science where they're like hacking into the computer and it's like they're walking through a labyrinth, like it's just like, or War Games, like there's so many bad hacker movies, but this one it's like based in reality, like there's a lot of reality dialogue to it, realistic dialogue, but they keep name dropping things that kind of bug me where it's just like, oh, we put in this Raspberry Pi module like into the computer. I'm like, okay, like you didn't have to like, what is this, like product placement in the show, which probably it is.
Raspberry Pi is free though, isn't it? The whole point of Raspberry Pi, whatever.
Yeah.
We're doing it right now. I hate myself.
Is there a free pie? Is that what you're saying?
Oh my god,
it's no like, idea what we're talking about right now.
Pecan pie M&M's. That's the thing. I'm sorry. That was a tangent, but we need to talk about
that. Yeah,
that
IM was the best thing that happened to me today.
Yeah. Yeah. Pecan pie M&M's is a thing that's happening in the real world. Unless that was an Onion article, and if so, I will kill you, Michael.
I think in the States, switching gears, I think in the States, M&M's come in multiple flavors, kind of like how we have Lay's potato chips and stupid flavors.
Poutine?
Really? Poutine. There was one. No, there's a really bad one.
No, like, there is poutine. Yeah, there I is saw a poutine one on someone's desk today, and I saw
there's butter chicken.
Oh, butter chicken. But the one where I'm like, people on Instagram, on like social media, like showed holding it, and they put the person's name on it too, which is weird. Yeah.
Well, because they get a piece of the action for the
really?
First. Yeah, if they win, they get a piece of the sales for the chips, apparently.
So someone did cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
And everyone was posting Instagram photos of like, screw you, blah, 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 from Nova Scotia and your gross like Lay's flavor. Like, does cinnamon rolls and potato chips really potato chips belong together?
I mean, the combination of sweet and salty. I have enjoyed bacon in a jam sandwich before. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say it's completely offside. If they balance the flavors right, who knows? It could be magic.
I don't know. I think it's just more they're perfecting the food chemicals way faster than they should be. And it's beginning to scare me because now it's just going to be like potato chip flavor. Like that's
so if you don't eat meat, can you eat meat flavored chips?
It depends on the ingredients. And I guess if it grosses you out that it's named after meat.
Yeah.
But there are actually a couple of the meat flavored chips that are technically vegetarian.
Really?
And you've eaten them and enjoyed them, or it reminds you of, like, do you cry? When
they're
you
usually
eat them?
Not. Yeah, I just sit
why
and
why is that guy crying in that bag of Lay's? Leave me alone.
I just always wondered.
They're actually not accurate enough to really make me feel bad. There is actually one veggie burger, and I guess I won't do any product placement here, but there's one particular burger chain that has a veggie burger that is so much like a real burger that I actually can't eat it.
Huh.
Which it sort of makes me want to tell all of the meat eaters that I know about it so they can eat a veggie burger and save a part
that
of a gal.
Good, yeah.
But yeah, I can't eat it. It's too, it freaks me out.
Because it tastes like meat. It
yeah,
tastes like meat.
Yeah, and the texture and everything, it keeps making me feel like somebody's made a mistake.
Sure, sure. Well, I think it's the food science guys like are just like, but that whole idea of like eating a burger, a vegetarian burger that tastes like meat is not, I think that's missing the point on some level.
True,
not
yeah.
you, but like the people that created it. I'm like, I don't think these people are choosing not to eat meat. So they're not looking for something that tastes like to remind them of what they have or not eating or.
Yeah, there are a couple of schools of thought. And I think like the lifetime vegetarians, like my wife, she doesn't want anything that's named after meat or tastes like meat or has been in the same room as meat. And I've been a vegetarian strictly for about 10 years.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
And was for a while off and on before that. And I'm okay with the stuff that's sort of meat substitutes, like, you know.
The hot dogs and stuff.
Yeah, like crispy tofu that they name crispy duck on the menu and, you know, like stuff like that I'm okay with. I don't go looking for it, but some new vegetarians sort of go looking for meat substitutes and want it to be as much like it as possible. I'm somewhere in between. If it's too much like it, I don't want it. But
I'm on the school of like, no, not. Clearly, you haven't listened to the show. I think that's a great place to take a break. We'll come back. We went from cartoons to vegetarianism.
I thought we were gonna go back to the BoJack after all that talk of meat, but sure. I mean, I will say the horse at La Palette is delicious. If you're there.
We'll come back.
Don't protest them.
We'll come back. Let's take a break.
Back in the 90s, I was in a very famous TV show. I'm BoJack the Horseman. BoJack the Horseman. Don't act like you don't know. And I'm trying to hold on to my past.
And we're back, the festive special, talking about TIFF coming up and other things on Hooray for Everything. Pierre saying that they just announced the Midnight Madness, which was like one of my favorite programming events. RIP rest in peace, the Uptown Theater.
Oh my God, yeah, totes. Yeah.
When they, I don't know what this new slang that we're working, but it's fine. We'll go with it. When they tore down the Uptown, I could not return to Midnight Madness, and I know Michael goes like often. And you're a big horror guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Big horror guy.
It's horror.
Yeah, you. We need the second syllable there. I mean,
is that a school? That's a good like. That's a good like real. Because there's new school horror, which is baloney. Like when I mean baloney, it's not good. But yeah, classic horror.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, horror apostrophe R. The extra R is for. I don't know.
I just wanted to differentiate it from whore, which is what it like you called whore. Me. So.
Yeah, that's where I was. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I felt like you were slut-shaming him a little bit.
Oh, no. I'm trying to think of the last one I went to.
Like at midnight?
At midnight at the Uptown, Young and Bloor. But I want to say Trainspotting, but that's not true.
God, oh my God.
That's not
you
true.
You saw that?
That's, yeah, I saw that.
At
like,
midnight at the
no,
Uptown?
No, I don't think it was a Midnight Madness screen, but I did see Trainspotting. Not going in knowing anything, and
oh, that'd be amazing.
And you know, we had some party favors before we went in, and just you know, the opening scene, right? And I'm just like, I just turn my friend, I'm like, this
the
is
running
cool.
through the streets,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the,
yeah. And I'm just like,
and the car, and
the Iggy Pop is like blasting,
the voiceover,
yeah.
And Life,
yeah. And I'm just like, this is the best movie ever, man.
And it was,
yeah,
and it still is,
yeah. No,
that
it's great.
Soundtrack
it's great.
Was,
it's great.
Yeah, oh, that great. Was the apex of movie soundtracks being awesome.
But it is still a classic movie, but it does have a time frame of like the 90s.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the like raving stuff is so dated now in films. When you see a rave in a movie, you're like, what is this? Like the worst nightclub ever.
But the trying to hear someone talk in a club is still perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh,
that.
Yes. Yeah.
For that, you get subtitles because that's how you feel when you're trying to talk to someone in a club.
What? What?
When they're hot and yeah. you're high yeah. and all you want to do is hear if they're going to let you throw it in. Yeah. Like, and you can't quite catch what they're saying. They could be saying, go away, or you're strange, or you're scaring me, or you smell. Or they could be saying, let's go to the bathroom and I'll give you a handy. You yep. don't know.
That's my last. Well, that was, I just remember being late night, but I don't know if that, we could look that up, I'm sure. But what's the last Midnight Madness show that you've been to, P? Or Mike, whoever, jump in. This is not it's an open format podcast.
It's been a couple of years since I've gone now, right. And we used to go a lot. But the one that I remember the most, I could tell you, which was Martyrs, the French movie, which was
I don't know. That's
a lot
my
of people.
Me-
that was amazing. A lot of people mentioned it in the same breath as Irreversible. Because there's about a 7 or 8 minute scene in it.
Okay.
That is just excruciating to watch. Like it's a beating scene that is just unbelievable. But the movie itself, if you can get through it to the end, it's a worthwhile, interesting story. But even a Midnight Madness crowd, I remember thinking, and these are people who were ready for it. Like they came in prepared and yeah. they were looking for crazy shit. And like 12 people, we were sitting in the balcony and about 12 people around us during the movie gradually got up and just walked out.
Oh,
never came back. Yeah, like
wow.
they just couldn't
yeah,
yeah.
handle it. With horror, like, has that director done, is this forte horror films or?
I can't remember now. I know that director has done other stuff. I think it's always pretty intense.
Okay.
But
okay.
yeah, I can't.
It's always like, I know with horror movie guys, like following directors, like, and Toronto yeah. is a huge, like, horror movie. I hate that community. I hate that terminology, but it's just like a lot of directors out of Toronto,
yeah,
Montreal, and people like love them.
And yeah, and the After Dark Festival,
yeah,
and
oh yeah,
the
yeah.
Morgue Magazine,
yeah.
and all those. It's a huge culture here.
I remember now the last movie I saw at Midnight Madness, and I think it was The Uptown. I could be lying, or it's Cumberland. Was Bubba Otep?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Did we see it? No.
No, not
okay.
together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the last. That was at Uptown. I have pictures. Sorry. That's true. I'm not making that one up. I have pictures somewhere. Bruce Campbell was there. Like they were just like, surprise, he's here. And then he sort of jabs his audience. Like he's not like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he like, not he hate, but he loathes like fake loathes. Like they're like, oh, okay, guys. Like, and it was great. That was a great one. Movie. It was okay. Like it was fine. But yeah. But it fit the like. It's a cheesy horror, silly comedy movie, and the fact that he was there, like Bruce Campbell was there, it made it like really fun. But I mourn the loss of that theater. That was like the last theater where you could feel, for me, feel the energy in the yeah. room, like feel, and the space was so vast and like, yeah. You know, the velvet curtains and like so grand, like in an authentic way, I think, but.
Yeah.
P, what's
so
your?
So last year, yeah. I have to look it up.
Yep.
Because it wasn't awesome, Tokyo Tribe. And it was, it looked like a kind of fight dancey movie, but it ended up being super arty and kind of a musical, but like a bad rap musical, but they're speaking another language. But it was the first one of the festival last year, or the second night, first or second night. So it was good to be there for that energy. However, I didn't enjoy it. I would say the two that I enjoyed the most that I saw at actual midnight were back when the Uptown was open, Spun and Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And very different crowds.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure we've already talked about how when I saw Spun, that was the night that ended up in, I think, Nicholas Nolte's arrest. Like, it was like he was here in Toronto, party at the Bovine, got on a plane, got back to it. Like, we were the beginning of a downward spiral. The opening of the conversion funnel, if you will, to that mugshot. Yay, Toronto. But yeah, so that was a great night. The crowd that night was super amped. That was one of the nights I'm fairly certain that people were sharing their party favors in the line, because that's what happened at the Uptown. Yeah. I would bring a flask usually because, you know, we have unpredictable weather in Toronto in fall, and sometimes it gets a bit crispy in the line. If, you know, you're a lady of a certain age, you might want a little something to warm you up.
Stay warm,
Brandy.
And other people might have a little something to chill them out, and people share in the Midnight Madness line, or at least they did at the Uptown. Not so much because now you're in the middle of a university campus. So there's a little less sharing of whatever you've got in your pocket.
Is it in that theater all
it's
the time?
It's in the Ryerson Theater now all the time.
And
yeah.
It's not that theater's, it's big, but not that big.
It's big and you can't bring anything in there. You can't bring
no
food
concession.
Or whatever.
No, there's
no concession. Yeah. You don't get the same level of unruly. There's still like the beach balls and everything.
Oh, nice.
There's still kind of like a more, you know, more hooting, more hollering. Like, that is the crowd that started the pirate R that now everyone, every programmer wishes would stop. But every year, as soon as the warning goes up, and they even change the language so it doesn't actually even say piracy anymore. But people still, as it's going dark, and the message comes up, there's always at least from, it depends, it could be anywhere from one to half the theater do an R, and then you hear somebody else explain, oh, piracy. And then, like, somebody else will laugh, and by the end of the week, the R's are in almost every single movie. And then when you don't hear it, it's kind of sad. Sure. But I know they all hate it now.
Sure.
Even though it's hilarious.
I never thought of that. I've never witnessed that.
You've never witnessed.
No, that's very funny.
I think.
That's very funny.
Maybe it hadn't started the year that we went to Ella Truce Day. But yeah, like.
There was a big, like, even in every movie you saw, they were just like. They haven't done the, or maybe they've done, is like, you're supporting terrorism, but they're just like, they tried to make, like, you wouldn't steal, wouldn't steal a car, so why would you steal a movie? Like, that was their, and they were so low budget looking, like, just like, what?
There's just like a message of flashes, but yes, the pirate R, that's still a thing that happens in the crowd. Yeah. But yeah, that whole Midnight Madness crowd is just very different. Like, you go to other movies throughout the day and, you know, the crowd can be a different kind of hype or a different kind of excited. But there's just a subset of people that go to those movies that may not be the kind of movie that would ever. I mean, the Raids of the world are an exception to the rule of what is normally a Midnight Madness, where normally only people like Michael see those movies on a regular basis and seek them out.
Yeah, I made the mistake. I made sort of a career misstep at one point a few years ago when I was working for a children's publisher.
Why is that a misstep?
Well, that wasn't the misstep, but the misstep was in trying to sort of become socially involved with my coworkers, and I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but I got tickets to Fido. It was a screening at the Bloor. I think it was a Cine Macabre screening, and it was, you know, $10, and it was the first screening of Fido in Toronto, Canadian movie, really great, hilarious zombie comedy, and also very cool, like, there's a deeper story to it, but I decided for some reason to let all of my new coworkers know that I was going and told them they should come along because it should be a fun movie. And
how did you end up leaving that job?
It may not have been 100% my decision. We a whole bunch of people for some reason agreed to go, and one of them was a VP who brought her like teenage daughter.
Oh,
whoa. This is like a
sitcom trope. Everybody's going to have a great time. Yeah. And it is sort of a charming movie in a way. But yeah, we all arrive at the Bloor, and I didn't realize that you could get in free if you dressed as a zombie. So strike one, everybody is
dressed as a zombie.
Yeah. There's an actual amputee standing on the planter outside waving his stump around. He's covered in blood because obviously he waits for this every year for chances to do this. And
sidebar, everyone, it's the pair of Pan Am Games right now in Toronto. So that's really not okay.
No, this guy was fantastic. I'm just saying that it maybe wasn't what some of my peers were expecting to see.
Horror fans go for it. They go for it. Like hardcore horror fans.
No,
they
I
go
love
for
that
it.
Guy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
But, it may not have been what some of my peers were expecting to see, a bloody stump waved around. so we get in and sit down in the balcony. Two rows ahead of us are two guys doing 2-liter bottle tokes. behind us are two guys.
Was
like,
this in 1983?
Like, yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Time travelers, obviously. And then the guys behind us got so angry at the bottle tokers in front of us that one of them leapt across about 4 rows of seats and sucker punched one of the guys. So there were bottle tokes, a fist fight, and
rough
a little
crowd
zombie.
Out that night.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, that was how I was introduced to all of my coworkers at a children's publishing house.
And how was the movie?
Movie was fantastic.
Did any of them actually like it?
I think they did, but they all looked a little bit shell-shocked after the experience. I think maybe they may not have been able to enjoy it to its fullest extent.
You know what? In the moment, and possibly for years after, they regretted ever having met you. But now when they tell that story,
they all look back. They're like, remember that guy? He was fun.
It's
our lives are sad.
It's the most badass thing they've all done.
Yeah.
And that teenager like is holding a candle, like, you know, holding a torch for you.
Yeah. And I'm going to send a link to this to all of those people so they can regret.
Look
decision.
At me now.
Yeah.
Free entertainment. But we'll take a break and we'll come back. Since we're all in the room, we got to talk about Marvel movies. That's what we got to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. We'll come back.
this would not happen, but I cannot control it. Just be a man, please.
And we're back. I don't know. Did we talk enough about TIFF in this episode, Pete?
No. We'll keep going on. we'll talk about my first segue for Midnight Madness. My first scare of the film festival season, in which I scare a random film festival programmer on the street.
Okay.
So other people are all hyped to see celebrities. And
Who are those people? I get very
excited about seeing the programmers. I'm excited about meeting people who spend the majority of their time in the dark watching movies so that I can just pick from the 400 that they winnowed it down to. I think it's amazing.
I also feel there should be a change of guard a little bit with the programmers now. Am I wrong in saying that?
Colin's still holding it down.
Okay. No, he's...
I don't know. What did you think about the Midnight Madness picks this year, Mike?
They look fantastic. I didn't really know any of them either, which is sort of new for me.
Like, said all the old people.
Really interesting.
No, I don't know. Usually, I don't know. I didn't look at them. I didn't see it.
But usually I've heard of at least a few of them before they get here.
There's like one. There's always like one Asian film that I'm like, oh, they're bringing that. Like that.
Yeah. Takashi Miike has a film.
Okay.
Yes. That actually, that one. Yeah. I didn't know about the movie. I knew him, but the rest of them were kind of a mystery to me, which was new. But it looks like an amazing list. I want to see them all.
And there's a movie with Patrick Stewart. So, of course, I ran screaming to the light box to try to give them my money. And in typical TIFF fashion, yesterday they said, there's no more Midnight Madness packages available, but you should check back. And then today, after looking and not seeing anything online or anything, I said, well, I feel like going somewhere with good Wi-Fi and some delicious food and getting away from the office, but not too far. So I packed up my laptop, humped over there and sat down, but then I was like, I'll go check at the box office first, even though I was just there yesterday. I walk up and the guy says, yes, there's more Midnight Madness packages available. Like, what the actual fuck, TIFF? You announce, everyone's all excited.
I think what you're looking for is WTF.
No, I'm looking for what the actual fuck, because there's articles and everything from the Hollywood Reporter to Deadline talking about how Patrick Stewart's movie is going to be at the film festival. It's part of Midnight Madness.
He directed?
No, he's in.
Oh, in it. Okay.
Yeah. And I lost my mind, was shut up, take my money. I know they're probably going to make it premium because they usually make one Midnight Madness premium now every year.
You don't get it with the package, is that?
Right. So I can't get it with a 10-pack package. Whereas before Midnight Madness, movies would never be premium because they're not like galas or special
presentations. Yeah, I thought it was like a special little sort of pocket within the TIFF festival. That's what I always thought of.
And
it,
I don't remember
now.
If it was Whippet or Seven Psychopaths, but like one year they made like a movie that a lot of people wanted to see in Midnight Madness premium. And now they've been doing it every year. Like they pick the one that's either like the big movie or people you would have heard of, and they make that one a premium. So you, even though it's at midnight, you would still have to pay either $40 or have a premium pass to get those tickets in advance.
Baloney.
So as soon as I saw Patrick Stewart was in a movie that was going to be Midnight Madness, I was like,
sorry.
Yeah.
Went down the round.
That's kind of the sound my body made. But yeah, so I just said it's actually cheaper for me to give them the $190 to get the full Midnight Madness pack where I get one ticket for every Midnight Madness movie, because that one would be $40 on its own. So even if I only see a couple other Midnight Madnesses and then perhaps give one or two movies to a friend.
And they're all at Ryerson, yeah?
Yeah, they're all Ryerson. And they're all at midnight. So if I already have four movie days for a bunch of stuff, I'm already out in them streets. So, you know.
They should move it to a better theater. Another theater, not a better theater.
But it fits like 2,000. And
oh, does it? Okay.
It's the size and how late it can be open, because Princess of Wales wouldn't be putting up with those shenanigans at that time of night, nor would Roy Thompson Hall.
Or, yeah, the AMC.
They don't want that kind of riffraff.
No.
Call me riffraff.
I did call you riffraff. But yes, I scared Cameron today, my first scare of the season. I saw him right after I bought my package. I was very excited. He was walking in with what looked like bags of food, because they'd probably been trapped in a room doing press release after press release.
He went and got out the food?
He was carrying like plastic bags of stuff.
Cameron Bailey, I thought you were higher up than that, buddy.
Listen, don't let the fancy suits fool you. He can still hold and carry. So he was walking in with bags of stuff.
Does he have people to do that? Anyway, I'm all like, this is
demystified. He was walking up to some other black people, so maybe they were even filmmakers. I don't know. I don't know his life.
Yeah.
Anyway,
none of us
I like yelled across to him. In the,
Cameron!
You know, legit, 100%. That's what I sounded like. Like, I just bought a Midnight Madness, even though I've already bought, like, over $1,000 worth of tickets. I had to get a whole package, just blah, blah, blah. And he's just looking at me like, I recognize you.
Oh, nice. That's
one
good.
One of the 10 black people who clearly takes off the week every year.
He didn't say that.
His eyes said it.
He gave you the, I'm being Cameron.
I
Cameron
acknowledge Bailey. You. Yeah, we're like, in public. There's cameras. I'm safe. However, if this goes on too long,
I'm pushing the panic button that's in my pocket.
Yeah. So every year I scare at least one programmer. I get overly familiar, like how people do with famous people.
Okay. But he's a public figure, you know, and he should be not used to it. But if he didn't even give the nod of like, hey, black people.
Oh, no,
black
no. He like he engaged me. Like he let me continue. There was like a call and response, but it was still.
Don't take this too far.
The sounds that were coming out of my mouth and the sane part of my head was like, festival hasn't started yet. Stopping crazy. Yeah.
Interesting.
But he did look happy to hear that I'd given them even more money.
No, that's good. That's good. I've seen him and he just does like, yep. Why'd you stop me? I'm very busy. That's all.
Yeah. I just yelled at him, like, Cameron!
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 Cameron! I was... I was saying before the break, it's now a movie style is the Marvel movies, and I think all of us have seen them here. Michael seen them?
May have seen one or two.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I'm wondering if I actually like them now, or if I'm just like I get swept up in them
I think. My experience with Iron Man may have colored the rest of my Marvel experiences. The first Iron Man. I was going through some really terrible family stuff at the time, and I took an afternoon off, and I went to see Iron Man, and for like 2 hours and 15 minutes, I was 8 years old, and it was
nice.
Amazing.
That's great.
So, so I have a deep love for that movie, and that sort of led me to, I feel like maybe I give them a little bit more credit than they deserve in some cases.
So it was the marijuana of Marvel movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and now we're all strung out on cheap street math.
That's right. Ant-Man.
I
haven't seen it yet, actually.
It's just like, are there other films where you feel you have to, I used to stay for every movie, like watch the credits. Like I just used to do that with every movie. Now, like time is a commodity, so I don't do that anymore. Right. But now with any Marvel movie, it's just like I gotta stay. I got because something's gonna happen. I don't know what that something is, but I gotta stay.
It might be just people eating falafel.
Yeah,
but
I gotta stay.
Shawarma.
Shawarma. I'm sorry. Vegetarian. Sorry. Yeah. I defaulted.
And gotta stick around and watch something. It doesn't really do anything.
I just watched original Iron Man last weekend on Netflix because I was having a bit of the doldrums and I wanted to go to that happy place.
Yep.
Just as good still. However, two things. One, Tony Stark just keeps making the same mistakes. He makes bad tech.
He creates the problem every time.
He makes tech that attracts a problem. Yep. And then he makes more tech to fight the problem. And then he has to make even more tech to fight the other problem that problem becomes.
So are we sort of like a country.
Yeah. So are we saying that Iron Man is just a metaphor for consumerism of our world today?
You're saying it.
And now it's no fun anymore.
No. I don't know. I just watch them and I'm like, that's great. Why do I like this? Like they are a repeat. What is it? That YouTube channel with Honest Trailers?
Oh yeah.
Those guys like deserve every award, like just the way they distill things. I'm like, I never thought of it that way, but that's totally true what they're saying. Like, yeah, it's like, I think they said, or where I learned of, like, Tony Stark invents something, it starts problems, and like, so he has to invent something else. And it's just like, can you not see that you're the cause of everything? So
yeah, like if he just watched Looper, he would just shoot himself and it would all be over. Spoilers for Looper, everyone. I'm so sorry. It's really good though. You should watch it anyway. Great performances, even though they look almost nothing alike.
Similar, but
he looks more like Tony Danza. Like, that was better casting. And John, that would have been Tony Danza movie. Plays his
instead
dad.
Of no, instead of Bruce Willis, it was Tony Danza.
Yeah, that yeah. That oh my god, amazing. That would have been amazing.
I heard Tony Danza's in the next Expendables movie. Is that true?
Really?
No, I just made. I just made that up.
That's. I got really excited, man. That's not cool.
Yeah, there's a name for girls like you.
That would be. I'll give that to Stallone. I'm just like, you know how you make the next Expendables movie? Put Tony Danza in it. You know, and he's a boxer or a housekeeper.
Or both.
Or both.
Please make him be both.
He's called the cleaner.
Nice.
It'll clean your clock and your house.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway. But
I think he gets a standalone movie with that line. That is a tagline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice work.
I don't know.
Where's Judith Light, though?
Where's Judith Light? I don't know. That, like... I'm going blank, but we'll
I know you're we'll edit here. Who's the boss spiral right now?
We'll edit here.
Yeah, you're thinking about Alyssa Milano. You filthy animal.
No. I'm just thinking, like, what keeps rehashing in my mind is just like, we remade this thing from your childhood and we ruined it. So it's just like, what else is, like, the well is running dry now. So it's like, who's the boss? The movie.
Don't get me started on Point Break remake.
Yeah,
Point Break. Yeah, you know,
Growing Pains.
Yeah, I'm really upset about that.
Like, they remade the Ninja Turtle. They remade the they're remaking Spider-Man again.
Again.
Like, there's going to be a new Spider-Man. And I'm like, I think my two-year-old knows the story and he hasn't even seen Spider-Man. Like, he already knows the origin story somehow. Like, I don't know why we need to see that again. Like,
I feel like Uncle Ben is trapped in a really sad version of Groundhog Day where he just dies over and over again. Every couple of years.
How many more Fantastic Four movies do we have to make until we realize no one wants to see them? I'd like to see a good one. I don't know if they can do it.
I feel like amidst the firestorm of people talking about casting for people who maybe don't match their idea of what the character should be, ultimately my biggest struggle, why I still haven't seen it, it was more Miles Teller, who I love as an actor, but I just didn't really see as Reed Richards. And it's not just because I'm black that I'm standing for Michael B. Jordan. I do think he could do anything, though. But seriously, the Wire wall. It's just like, think about it.
I heard they're remaking The Wire. No, that's not true. That's not true either. I just made that up.
They probably will, though.
I can make her gasp again, I think. I've never watched The Wire.
Okay, so yeah, I had to choose.
I've tweeted this, Mike. I don't trust white people that haven't seen The Wire.
I missed that.
That's fair. I'll allow it. Michael, you'll have to go now.
Yeah.
We'll take.
If I go home and watch it, can I come back?
We'll take a break. And we'll come back.
If we were on Facebook, we would unfriend you now. But we're too cool for Facebook.
We'll come back.
Here comes the dope pusher. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Just wrapping up another episode of Hooray for Everything, the festive special. We talked about TIFF, but it's fine. It was good. The prep
has to build. They haven't even announced the full schedule. No, that's why we're doing this in a month lead up.
And it's like our take on TIFF, like, you know, us living in Toronto and actually experiencing it, not just like jumping in on a let's go see celebrities. I think that's like, I've never done that.
Yeah, no. And seriously, if you like them a little bit darker, no pun intended. Vanguard and Midnight Madness.
Yeah, why would you go?
Yeah,
why would you go to Midnight Madness? And I think that's exactly.
So Midnight Madness and Vanguard are two areas of the festival where you get the kind of movies that you wouldn't want to bring coworkers that you just met.
It's not a first date.
Where were you in 2005?
It might be a first date if you're both horror fans.
Like. Even then, I would say second date. Not a first date.
Yeah.
You've just swiped right on someone. Maybe not a Midnight Madness. Special presentation, Contemporary World Cinema, Visions, Masters, Gala. Basically any other program except for Vanguard or Midnight Madness. Again, looking at you, Michael. you'll find things very trigger warnings. I just like to get it out of the way quickly.
I bring girls over and just show them Bad Lieutenant. That director's cut. That's all. That's me and my wife's second date.
Second date is fine. Again, that's a good test. Yeah. If you've already thrown it in once, you're not sure if you want to keep her. If she'll stay after Bad Lieutenant or my favorite, Bad Lieutenant Porcoto. New Orleans.
God damn, I love that movie.
So good. His soul's still dancing. Yeah, like, for sure. She's a keeper.
No, I think she would leave me if I showed her Bad Lieutenant. Let's sit down and watch a movie.
But something light.
Just don't have to think about it. Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, all of those movies should come with a trigger warning. They're dark. They're usually super violent. Lots and lots of sex of both the consent and the Cosby variety. And Too soon.
We're not soon enough. But I think that wraps
like
now, now we've offended each other once today. That's good. We can call it even again.
Well played.
I think that wraps up another episode.
Good night, everybody.
Of Hooray for Everything. The festive special. Check us out, Girth Radio. Check us out in the studio. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Like our page. But we'll be back. We're ramping up for TIFF and P's Adventures jumping in. And so we'll have a new episode every week. Check us out. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you next week.
The festive special.